Okay. Tommy wants me to explain something to you. If I can, I'll do my best. And that is, the elders have decided they'd want to get a man to come and work with me until I guess, retire. And that probably won't be too long. But anyway, they're looking for a young man to come and work full time. And therefore, you'll have two preachers working together for a little while, and hopefully for a good while. But anyway, I think that's it, isn't it, Tommy? But so I'm not leaving right now anyway, so we're thankful for that. I'm thankful, and I hope you are too.
We don't have plans for you,
but
the good Lord.
Okay. Thank you all so much, because it's certainly been a joy for me to work here at O'Neill. Labors in the vineyard of the Lord. That's what we're talking about. The parable that was given just a little bit ago. Matt read that. Notice, if you will, that there needs to be workers or laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. And I'm asking you the very beginning, as we begin this sermon, do you want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord? And I'm going to be real straightforward about that. I'd like to have an answer. Yes or no? That's your answer. What answer will you give the Lord? In Matthew 21 through 16, it was early in the morning that the man went out to hire laborers in his vineyard. Again in the third day, about the third hour, then about the sixth and the ninth hour, and about the 11th hour. Here's a man going out because he's got some work to be done. He's got a vineyard that he needs workers for, and he's seeking out people to come and to work in that vineyard. And then about the 11th hour, when he came out, there were still people that were standing there. And these people at the 11th hour was told, if you go and work, I'll give you what is right. And what happened? They everyone received a penny. They had agreed to that work. And the Bible says that they who had received it after they'd worked a while, they murmured. Why would people in the kingdom of God ever murmur against the Lord? And here is a man who is a laborer, rather a landowner, and he is seeking to get people to work. They all agree at the different times together with him, and he just simply carries it out. Why murmur? Well, we'll find out. He asked them the question, didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Wasn't that your agreement with me? Yes, it was. Friends, God wants people to work in the vineyard of the Lord. Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now let me suggest, number one, that the work of the Lord, the vineyard of the Lord, covers the whole earth. I mean, it's immense. It's huge. It's big. There's so much work to be done. In the parable, early in the morning, he goes down and he finds people. And he sends them at the third hour of the day. He sends them at the sixth hour, at the 11th hour. Why? Because Jesus tells us plainly in John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work. And Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's going to take a lot of laborers to do that. But that's exactly what Jesus tells us. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. It's vast. It's overseas. It's everywhere. The work of God. The vineyard of the Lord. So big. So huge. And we have a call. He's calling for laborers to come and work in the vineyard of the Lord. Number two, he needs for workers. It's great, it's so urgent. And everybody is needed. Ah, Jesus says, and I love this passage in Matthew 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's ready now to be taken in. Reap. But the laborers are few. Remember we asked in the very first of our sermon this morning, do you want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord? Are you willing to serve the Lord? Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye that there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ready white to harvest. Don't say you got time. You don't. When we think of the size of the vineyard of the Lord extending to the whole world, we can see then the urgency that is placed upon us to get everybody working in the kingdom of the Lord. Do you want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord? And let me suggest to you, my friends, all kinds of workers are needed in the vineyard of the Lord. Now, there is some valuable work that can be done in God's kingdom. There is room in the kingdom of God for workers, we sing sometimes. And when we think about people praying for others, I have requests personally where people will call me, send me texts, and they want me to pray, and I want to pray for them right then. People need to be involved in the work of the Lord in helping everybody that we possibly can. There's a need for men, women, boys and girls, everybody in this vast work in the kingdom of God. The early disciples continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They prayed, as Brad led us this morning in our prayer, to God a good prayer. And then as you pray every, I hope there's not a day that you arise out of your bed that you don't go before God and spend some time in prayer to God and call the names of those that have asked you to pray for them and then pray for everybody. We need workers in the vineyard of the Lord. Do you? Am I? Do you want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord? People that are sick. People that are lost. People who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, who have no hope. They're not in the kingdom of God. God wants them in that kingdom. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you can save one soul, just one soul, let me tell you this morning, you've accomplished more than accumulating all the wealth of the world. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's the comparison that Jesus makes in Matthew 16:26. And that's what you and I need to think about. Are you? Am I? Do I want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord? Will I, me, make those telephone calls, send those get-well cards, do everything that I can do, not depending on somebody else, but me, I. Do I want to be a worker for the Lord? In Revelation 3:8, Jesus said, I know your works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. These were workers in the vineyard of the Lord, and they had a great strength. Let me suggest to you, my friends, the period of work in the Lord's kingdom is short. Jesus just said, as we noticed in Acts 4:35. Surely, in John 9:4, where Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man shall work. Some of us are getting older. Some of us not going to work that much longer. Young people, let me tell you, we need you. Middle-aged people, we need you. Old people, don't give up. Do what you can. Be a worker for the Lord because you want to do what you can in the kingdom of God. These people, some early in the morning, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, 11th hour, baptized the man one time. He said, I've already just wasted so much time. He had. But you can't do anything about that now. Then do what? If you're an 11th hour Christian, work that 1 hour and serve the Lord. Oh, how joyful it is to be able to spend many years in the service of God. You make your mistakes, yes. But what do? You depend upon God to help you because you love Him, because you love the people. Yes, the period is short because that old clock strikes midnight. And remember the parable, when the bridegroom cometh at midnight. It's all over. You won't work anymore. You won't have a chance to work in the vineyard of the Lord. The greatest opportunity that we have is there right today. Opportunity plus ability equals responsibility. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them that are the household of faith. And then in Acts 11, the Bible says the disciples, according to their ability. What do? They have opportunity plus their ability equals their responsibility. Why? And they're ready to do what God wants them to do because they've already committed to the Lord. I want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. Oh, look at the field of work. Right before us here in Athens, Alabama, the parable of the landowner sent them all out. He's wanting them to be busy. Oh, I'm so thankful for the elders here for sending Bibles all across the land. Somebody, somewhere, if they just pick up one of those Bibles and read that Bible and learn the truth of God's Word, look how valuable that work is. We want people to know what? We want people to know about our Lord because we're a worker in His vineyard. In Acts 8, verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, go! And to us, He says in Matthew 28, in verses 18 through 20, go! In Acts 9, verse 11, the Lord said unto one who was about to go and talk to Ananias, to talk to Saul of Tarsus, arise and go. Do what? Go. In Acts 10, 19 and 20, while Peter thought on the vision he had just seen, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go. The word go means you and I. In doing what? Not just for the things we want, but to do everything we can in the kingdom of our Father which art in heaven. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted in Acts 13, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work for unto I have called them, and they went. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? He's asking us today, who will do the work of the Lord? Will we arise and say, Lord, send me. Let me do it. I was talking to Matt Taylor yesterday while he was over here. I believe it was yesterday. Anyway, James is out here, I think, doing the carpeting and doing cleaning up the building. We need to be busy doing everything we can in the kingdom of God. And I told you about that friend of mine who obeyed the gospel of Christ, Sebastian. He's gotten over 30 cars from this church. He sent me, and I'm going to get it on probably next week for you, but he's put cars all over his house. Just about, he put them all on the ever think that he had even on top of lamps, on top of pictures, and I don't know what else. He said, Brother Guy, he said, I want you to know, I want that congregation to know, I appreciate them wanting to encourage me and lift me up. Look what you've done. Let me tell you something, friends. There's all kinds of work for us to be doing. Ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I willing to do? Yes, even those at the 11th hour were told to go. Beware. In the vineyard of the Lord, there's dangers. You got to be careful about it. Some become idle. Some may be slack, careless, and half-hearted in the Lord's work. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 9? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And then, one of the most powerful things that the devil has in churches is that little word jealousy. The devil's master stroke among the Lord's workers. There was a man that the Bible calls Diotrephes. What did he want? He wanted the preeminence. Why? When you have Christ having all preeminence in the kingdom of God, why do we want that? Diotrephes, he wrote to the, rather, the Bible says, John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have their preeminence among them, he wouldn't receive us. Wherefore, if I come, I remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Instead of encouraging, lifting up, and getting people pointed to Jesus Christ, what did he want? He wanted what he wanted. Wow. Criticism? Oh, you can criticize me if you want to. That's all right. And I guess maybe at different times we do. You can have constructive criticism. But these people were murmuring against the one who were paying them. Can you believe that? Well, the Bible says, when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, well, these last have wrought but 1 hour. They hadn't worked long at all. You paid them a penny and that's all I got. I don't think that's fair. What? I want to answer that, my friend, by telling you, oh, if we get to heaven and we can, if we'll obey and do His will, you'll realize that none of us expended nearly as much time and effort as we should have probably. When you read about the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible said, I have fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. Who did it? The worker in the vineyard of the Lord. Who was he? Paul. What did he do? He says, there laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them who love His appearing. Grumbling, when we ought to remember the Hebrew writer, when he says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That can't be anything comparable to that. To know you know the Lord. To know that He knows you. And because you're doing and serving Him, let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You got to be careful about teachers advocating things that are not right. While in 2 Peter 1 verse 1, listen to what he says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. In 2 John verse 9 through 11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. When a thing is taught and it's not in keeping with the will of the Lord, that person does not have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ He hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any among you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. False teachers advocating things. You know, a lot of things thought in the world, and I picked up some things this week. There's a person by the name of Sheila Krungen, who's the leader of NOW, now said, since marriage constitutes slavery for women, boy, isn't that something? It's hard to even read it. It is clear that the women's movement must concentrate on taxing this institution. Freedom for women cannot be won without the abolition of marriage. Huh? In the world, that's what people are being taught. Women, marriage is not a good thing for you. William J. Bennett in The Broken Heart, page 13. In the year of 2000, there were 5.5 million Americans living together outside of marriage, which was an 11-fold increase since 1960. More than half of all marriages in our country are now preceded by a period of simply living together. Huh? In the Declaration of Feminism of 1971, it was stated, marriage has existed for the benefit of men and has been a legally sanctioned method of control over women. We must work to destroy it. Women are hearing that. Men are echoing it. What does God say? Just read it. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, but even the bed is not defiled in marriage, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God's word is final. Did you know I heard of a young lady who was 21 years of age, several years ago, introduced in the Church of Christ as one of their new preachers? What do you say about that? Yes, at the 4th Street Church of Christ over in Franklin, Tennessee. But how far is Franklin, Tennessee from Athens, Alabama? Probably less than 100 miles. From us, a congregation, having a young lady who has now was enrolled at Lipscomb University to take over the hams now, get in the pulpit and preach. What will we say? We'll say what God said, that He does not permit. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 through 14. I permit not a woman to teach over a man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let the women keep silent in the churches. Why? I think an easy answer to that which is wrong is found in this one thing. Search your Bibles. Did you find one woman ever among the disciples of Christ who were preachers of the gospel? Women are really important to God, but He has placed women in their proper place. Just like in marriage. No, the woman is not the head of the man. The head is the man. Don't ever try to change it. It can't be changed in order to be acceptable and pleasing to God. It's sad today among churches of Christ when things are brought in and people agree. And here is a young lady standing before a group of people, men, women, boys, and girls, doing the preaching. In denominationalism, you have Joyce Meyer, you have all different kinds of women. But what does God say? He said it. I do not permit a woman to teach over a man. The rewards based on quality is surely true because the Lord requires us to be faithful to Him in Revelation 2, verse 10. Bringing in the seeds The Bible tells us, thou hast been faithful over a few things, Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 21. Here's what he's going to do. Set your ruler over many things. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I'm asking you this morning, do you want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord? If so, what are you willing to do? Brad's going to lead us now in this song. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Let's sing it together. Do you? Let's sing it, Brad. What have we just done? We have been singing to God. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray. Be busy every day. I want to be in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work and I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work and I will pray and I will labor every day. Where in the vineyard of the Lord? I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the errand in the way that leads to heaven above where all is peace and love in the vineyard of the Lord. Yes, I want to be workers, strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker. Help me, Lord, to lead the lost and erring to the word that points to joys on high where pleasures never die in the vineyard of the Lord. Brethren, sisters, in the Lord. What kind of service are we rendering to our God? You and I have so many opportunities. Is our service to God become a matter of convenience? Look at the great opportunities we have, children's field class. What time do you get here with your children? Are they here for the class at all? Does your children even go to the class? Ladies' Bible class, who attends? Is it a good class? Is it worthy of your time and effort? Is it a good work? Singing class. How many of us have even attended once? Why? First Sunday of March, gospel meeting. Don't plan a vacation that week. You've got an appointment with the Lord. Monday after the second Sunday in June, vacation Bible school. Circle that date. We want to be here. First Sunday of October, gospel meeting. It's that way. We're members of this church. We want it to grow. We want to be workers in the vineyard of the Lord. And every week, you have a bulletin. Do you read it? I'm asking you this morning, I'm praying that each one of us will take our time very seriously in the work of the Lord. I saw a picture of an old church building. The front door had planks nailed across it. And on that church building, a sign read, "To be moved, church building free." I preached in many small churches years ago, holding gospel meetings. One I can think of today, even in a city that had almost 200 people when I was there, I remember so vividly on one occasion when I was preaching there. People everywhere in that, packed full. If they have 30 people today, they have no small children. What happened? Go and talk to these people in these small churches. Some of them used to be bubbling over, but where are the people now? Somebody didn't work. Somebody's given up. It takes every member doing everything he can for that church to grow. We have a tremendous opportunity. Opportunities, but do we have to have everything convenient for us in order for us to accept those responsibilities? I'm saying to you this morning in conclusion, when that landowner went out and Jesus gave that parable, he went out and he called people and he said, "Go, go, go." He's saying that to you and he's saying it to me. How much time do you have left? What do you want to do with it? Take a vacation? Go see New York? Go over to Hawaii? Or do you like to fly over to Canada to see the falls? They're beautiful. I've seen them before twice. But what is the most important thing for you and for me? To answer with an affirmative. To truly mean it. I, Lord, want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. Let me use what strength I have. Let me, Lord, be yours. So when the final day comes, when it's all over, and the clock at midnight strikes, and the bridegroom comes, may God help each one of us to be ready so we can go with Him into the paradise of God, heaven itself, prepared for those who have been, who said, who sung, who believed, "I want to be a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to do what I can do. Help me, Lord, to do it." If you're not a Christian this morning, won't you obey the gospel? Won't you be baptized for the remission of your sins? If you're a child of God and you haven't lived faithfully, do you need to make a statement of fact that, "Hey, I haven't really been serving the Lord like I should. I'm going to do it." If we can help you in any way, the invitation of Jesus is yours. Won't you come and obey Him while together we stand?